Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. I got tired of just doing something there.
We're a week away.
Well, here's the real thing. We're a week away, which is exciting. And I just got tired of the, this is boring. So I just booked Dave Dombrowski for the morning show for us. So we had something to talk about. You're welcome, everybody.
No, No big deal. Could not care
less. I'm here for High Hopes.
This is not a shot at Joe DeCamera or John Ritchie or yourself. I don't care what you guys have to say about the Dave Dombrowski interview. I care about what I have to say.
No, that's true. I think everyone does. That's why I did it. I did it so that we could hear what you had to say.
Exactly.
No one else really cares. Correct. So you're welcome.
Correct. It was fine. It was good.
He's amazing. I mean, I would like to say that in the history of this pod, we've had some really great takes. We've nailed some stuff. I mean, we've done some things, got Bryce Harper here, saved Trey Turner's career, all that type of stuff. But I think the single, most on point we've ever been was when we absolutely adored the Dave Dombrowski hire when it happened. When we were like, what a hire. Nailed this. Going to turn the franchise around. And we nailed it exactly. So
best take in the history of the podcast.
Good job by us, man.
He's a really good talker.
He's a great talker, man.
Obvious. Knows how to say something without not saying anything.
Yeah, but also giving you enough. Yes. It's not one of those things where you're like, you didn't say anything. It's like he gives you something, but it's smooth, man.
Yeah, he's
smooth.
Very good at this.
He's very good
at
this. Good, yes.
The Rojas thing is one of the biggest takeaways from it.
Dude, he went out of his way to mention Rojas, and then Joe wisely followed up on it, but in that first answer, he just kept saying, and Rojas.
Yeah.
Which you were all over. I asked you a month plus ago, do you buy that Rojas is the guy they want to be the center fielder, and you were in on it.
Yeah, and it's obviously going to be a big, it is a gamble, and the Rojas thing is interesting because, again, the 302 was probably the fakest 302 I've seen in my entire life.
Yes.
We saw what happened in the postseason. I think you go almost too far worrying about what he did in the postseason. He was in Double-A to start the year, and he's tasked with, again, he's just batting ninth. It killed him in game 7.
Well, it's because of big spots.
Big spots.
It happens, yeah.
It really didn't backfire until game 7.
Yeah. And by the way, we don't. You talked about that the Trey Turner play last pod, where you're like the biggest forgotten defensive play ever. That Rojas play against the Braves they might not win the series without that play. You know, we conveniently forget about that.
Yeah, listen. I'm starting to look back on the 2023 highlights, and I let out a smile.
Me too.
I let out a little bit of a smile.
The pain will always be there. I'll always remember it.
Of course.
But I'm not. Over it's the wrong phrase, but,
wrong
but
phrase.
I've moved on. You know what I mean? I moved on to 2024, and I'm very excited.
Me too.
That's where I'm at.
So, but Rojas, it's the biggest. It reminds me so much, and if it's funny, it's the same position. But a couple years ago, when they went into the year, and it was like, all right, it's gonna be Hazley, Moniak, remember the panic Simone Muziotti.
Simone Muziotti. Was Roman Quinn in there for a minute or two?
Had to have been for a minute.
Simon Muziotti got some plays out there. Yeah, some starts out there.
I think he made his debut against the Mets, because that's when Hazley just left in the middle of the
series. Yeah, that was tough.
So it reminds me a lot of that gamble that they're making with Rojas. It feels eerily similar to that. Now the good part is that like the rest is pretty much set.
Well,
like,
also there is a big, big difference there in that he is light years a better fielder than any of those guys you talked about. Like he is a truly elite center fielder, which provides on its own, like regardless of the bat, is valuable in a different way than those other guys were.
Yeah, I think they are clearly higher on Johan Rojas than I think that the general public is, and that's usually how teams are with their guys. And I think the things you see of him bulking up down in Clearwater is exciting.
FaceTime him. It's hitting coaches.
I know.
Getting working.
And that stuff's great. It's important and it matters. It's just, I don't know how much you can do to help pitch recognition. Like, I think almost being able to see pitches out of hand is just, you're either born with it or you're not. And that's
Bryson Stott can see a pitch out of the hand.
Harper can see a pitch out of
the hand. Well, obviously Harper. Castellanos. I was trying to use someone who's a little closer to Rojas. We're trying to, you know.
Castellanos, not so much.
not often, so much.
But makes up for it with power and doubles and all that. Where I don't know what Johan, like, is. You just want him to hit singles? You know, like, it's the Rojas bet is a big one. But at the same time, you know, signing Bellinger would be awesome. You know, you'd have Bellinger in center, Marsh in left. A lot of lefties in that lineup.
I was just about to say, it's another lefty, man.
It's a lot of lefties.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, Bellinger was great last year, like really great, but.
Was DFA of the year? Before.
Literally DFA'd.
Now, hold on. Schwarber was DFA'd.
I know. It's just my point being that, you know, the big issue, what everyone felt, we all agreed at the end of the season, was a lack of contact when you need it. If you're going to pick the biggest thing that fell apart with the Phillies offense at the end of the season or at the end of the playoffs, like. You know, Bellinger is risky in that sense, in that the loopy swing. And look, I know he batted 307 last year. So, you know, and he
wasn't as loopy last
year. He's won an MVP, but I'm just saying
that. Flattened it out.
I'm saying there's a low floor when it comes to Cody Bellinger.
Sure.
Yeah.
It would be fun. It'd be fun. I don't think they're going to Cody Bellinger. I think that was, Boris.
Scott Boris, yeah.
More trying to, you know, spook other teams.
Use a little leverage there. A
little bit.
And look, it's smart not just because they're the Phillies and they spend money, but because we just saw them do this. I mean, the Castellanos deal was 2 years ago where everyone's like, all right, they've spent their money, whatever, and a great deal, in their opinion, fell in their lap, and they took it. So it's smart.
And I guess with the Rojas thing is I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. Now, of course, you could get Bellinger, but I don't think it's the worst idea in the world that you give him the first half of the year, see how he looks, see if the offseason he made improvements, hitting-wise, and he's starting to make a little bit more impact on the baseball, and if it becomes such an apparent need, then the deadline, like, you know what your thing is. You know what I mean? So I think they're heading into the season basically saying, we have a pretty set roster. You know, if you want to do the numbers, analytics, whatever. They have a top-five rotation, a top-five bullpen, and a top-five lineup. They don't know what the issue is right now. So, sure, would I like them to correct all the issues or whatever the issues they think they have in the offseason? But it's also not the craziest thing in the world to go into a year where you don't have an obvious hole. And then at the deadline, that's when you go and try to fill that.
Yeah. And I think that's what they're doing organizationally. Look, I think that, and Dave alluded to it, you know, he was asked about Montgomery and Snell. I believe Richie asked the question. And, you know, he's like, we're not looking to do anything. But hey, you know, if a great deal falls in your lap, it falls in your lap, essentially. So I do believe that, particularly with the pitchers, I think more likely than Bellinger. That if perchance those guys are sitting out there and there's a 1-year deal, a 2-year deal to be had, I, you know, which I think more likely with Snell than Montgomery, but they're both still out there. Mm-hmm. I do think the Phillies would jump on something like that, but I wouldn't expect it. You know, I'm not counting on it.
No, but the nice part about Montgomery is no qualifying offer.
Oh, man.
You want to talk about my dream. Sign someone that doesn't have a qualifying offer so I don't have to lose a freaking second round pick for the millionth year in a row. Like, that's all I care about.
I know.
Keep the picks.
It's all you care about.
Keep the picks.
It's your whole thing.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. That's why this offseason has been a massive failure. I have not signed anyone with a qualifying offer.
Your draft picks.
That's all I care about. Dombrowski, listen, I appreciate the answer about Taiwan Walker in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm not. It doesn't pass my smell test.
Yeah.
It was a lot like the Ben Brown and Logan Hoppy are untouchable.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. Like, if there's one thing to upgrade, that would be like, oh man, that's like, that takes you to another level. It's finding a way to upgrade that spot.
And look, they could use another arm in the bullpen. I think if you were looking up, I'm not saying that they need it, but they could use it.
Michael Rucker.
But yeah, I mean, I got to do it. We'll get back to Dave. But like, how do you not sign Hector Neris for 1 year, $9 million? Like, it doesn't make any sense. That is the most surprising contract that has happened this offseason to me. Like, why did he only get 1 year, $9 million? Why didn't the Phillies give it to him? Like, I just, I'm perplexed by the Hector Neris thing. Like, it makes zero sense to me.
The underlying stats are bad. That's why.
Whatever, he's a good pitcher. I watch him. Oh, you're out on Neris now? You wanted him in your perfect offseason. We're both there. You're out now just because he got a bad deal. You're like, he probably stinks.
He's all right. They'll be
strong distance.
They're not a Neris away from
I feel pretty good that 1 year, $9 million was a good move by the Cubs.
Well, the contrary to popular belief, it's not like they've nailed the 1 year, $9 million.
True, but that's why you sign Hector. Do what you don't want to do and sign the guy I want you to. We told them we'd help him with that.
Hey.
He did allude to they were in on Robert Stevens, and that's
that was
very clearly. So Jordan Hicks, but I mean, just an example of honesty is he's like, yeah, we were in on this pitcher, but you know, he got a job to be a starter. It's like, so everyone knows you're in on Jordan Hicks. Like, that's just clear.
And that
then he's like, and then the sign on the West Coast. It's just like,
yeah.
So it's Robert Stevens. Okay, cool.
And the other thing of, you're gonna be shocked at how much we offered Yamamoto.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he was like, we offered Yamamoto. Yes.
And I believe he's right. but yeah, it's just there's going to be I think they're going to sign a bullpen guy by the end of the offseason. The Maton thing was that pissed me off more than Hector. Like, $6.5 million for a guy who is a soft contact king. That hurts a little bit.
It does feel like they're really, they really are not signing guys.
Sorry, I feel like that all just hit you in one
well,
sentence. I saw your face drain. You're like, they really might not sign anyone.
Which again, and I am okay. Like, you made this case, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, the roster's set, and I do think they have a good roster, and I don't think, you know, I don't think
you
need to go.
But it's disappointing.
But it's disappointing. It just feels like I wanted more.
Dude, what did this podcast accomplish this offseason?
Nothing.
We did nothing.
We
talked
nothing.
To Preston, and that was amazing. That
it
was a great.
Great
time.
Yeah.
You know, like, we essentially just sat on our hands. Like, this podcast also sat on our hands.
Yeah.
We had nothing to react to.
We had four straight episodes called, well, this is boring.
We got Nola. That's not a shot at Nola.
And no, it's not, but it was also the very first signing of the offseason. So it's like signing, and then it's like nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it's months.
But like we always say, we could just not record, you know, which we've done a couple of times.
Sure.
But, we're a week away.
That's right.
Bygones be bygones.
It's all good.
Yeah, we're back.
I do think, to your point, though, I do think they are going in with this, you know, we are going to make moves at the deadline. The last couple of deadlines have been light comparatively. I mean, you know, they made some moves around the edges, things that helped. And obviously Brandon Marsh was probably the biggest of those in terms of a piece of your team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going into this deadline going for it, assuming the first half of the season works out. I don't love that. I don't love banking on. I mean, what if it's a situation where a lot of teams in it? There's less people on the market. Like, you never know how the trade deadline is going to play out. So I don't love that as a philosophy, but it does feel like that's kind of what their mindset is.
Yeah, and
Dave talked, even mentioned it. Yeah,
no, and it's a fair way to go about it when you don't have something that's like, you know, obvious. And once they sign Nola, like, I think Yamamoto, they viewed as like a once in a lifetime luxury. 25
year old.
Like,
yep.
We'll pay that. You know what I mean? Like, we'll pay that. But the only thing giving me hesitancy about that plan is like I've felt for the last freaking 2 years, like, where's the Dave Dombrowski trade?
Yeah.
Like, where's the patented push your chips in? Like, and maybe that's
it
why.
It is wild. He is not. He has done the exact opposite. He's protecting prospects. Oh. He's like building a franchise.
Just like we always thought he was gonna do. Yeah.
It is wild. It's like, it really hilarious. Is.
It's the best bit. There's a lot of bits going.
It's a good bit.
Dombrowski turning into I'm not trading anyone guy.
This is a bit.
It's a new one.
Yeah.
It's a new one. So yeah, it's something that like I just keep waiting for that. And maybe that's why I feel like there's been a lot of and I like Mick Abel, but it feels like there's been a more pushing of he made progress towards the end of the year, like really trying to get him out there as mm-hmm. like not his prospect. Ranking hasn't fallen that far.
Yeah.
I think he's still in the 60s.
He's still in the 60s at most places, yeah. At least where you look.
Speaking of that, like, this isn't to rip the people that cover prospects, but just go watch Aiden Miller.
Yeah, I saw him. He was second on one list I saw.
Second? Painter. I think he's been in like the 80s.
No, I'm talking in the Phillies list. I've seen him in second.
But in top 100 list, he's mostly been.
Has he been on top 100? That's good to begin with.
He's made a couple of them.
I mean, that's impressive.
Our good friend Keith Law did put him in there, which I appreciate.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Keith. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Friend of the pod.
Loved coming on.
Really had a great time.
He has said it's his favorite interview he's ever done. Yeah. I've heard him say that.
Yeah. So, that's a quick tangent.
Very complimentary of him after as well. Oh, no disagreements with what he said.
So positive. So positive.
Yes.
Such a warm
ray of shining light.
Yeah.
Hey, you idiot.
Hey, they're not.
They're not doing that, moron.
You didn't pay attention to whatever. And then they by the way, I mean, not a bad time to trade for Nick Bitsko.
Yeah. I always like when Nick Bitsko, how about that? I always like when we reference things that happened a long time ago on the pod and wonder what percentage of listeners actually know what the hell we're talking about.
I would actually put it at about 15 to 20%.
I think it's probably a little higher, but not much.
Yeah.
25-30. So we're doing it just for us and those people. This is good.
Kind of started to sound like Merrill there.
You got to learn the bits. I did.
25-30.
35-40.
Touch now. That's bad.
Merrill. No, it wasn't.
Moving on. Not as bad as what the camera did.
The Godfather. It's the worst thing I've ever in my life. Yeah, Honestly, we should have shut his microphone off in the moment. Yeah, it was bad.
Tough to listen to. By the way, speaking of the morning show.
Yes.
I did want to bring this up.
Good. Yeah. On the podcast. Yeah. What, about Dave Dombrowski that we had him on? Yeah, sure.
I don't care about that.
No, you know.
I am doing a bit on the afternoon show.
Oh, you bit? Yeah. You're doing bits? You sure about that?
Called Morning Show Side Topic.
Oh, good. That's great. Yeah, yes. Yes.
Because we're giving away prize all doing a different morning show type.
Oh, so it's a way to steal our bit and do the bit side. and kind of make fun of us, but in reality we're helping you out. Right. It's great.
Yesterday I did. Hey, what's relaxing?
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Listening to baseball on the radio.
Listening to High Hopes.
Watching golf.
Would you say that High Hopes is a relaxing listen?
I think it's probably a pretty chill listen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, relaxing is a word. I mean, yeah, I don't think me and relaxing can be involved in any sort of way.
No.
You could be a relaxing listen sometime.
Yeah. I'm not trading away everyone.
Yes, when you're not talking about AJ Brown, you're a pretty relaxing listen. Otherwise, you're the enemy.
Believe it or not, people didn't agree with that one.
No. I thought it was pretty funny when the midday show yesterday just did a trade for Patrick Sertan show, and it was like, oh, it's fine.
No.
You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What the hell just happened here?
Yeah. All pro for all pro.
It's been a few weeks for you. You've had a moment.
No, it's awful. It's awful. Not having any fun. I could really use Philly season starting.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that I'm most mad at the Phillies for, is that, like, they haven't given me anything to react to.
Yeah, right? It's true.
So it's like, I can't. Do you want me to nerd out to Michael Rucker? No, I don't think I don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Not Michael Rucker. Michael Rucker.
Yeah, not Darius Rucker. Michael Rucker.
There you go. Hootie. Shout out to Hootie. You know who Michael Rucker is? You would recognize.
No idea.
You would recognize Michael Rucker.
I know Brent Rucker.
But can I just say, I freaking love Brent Rucker. Do you follow him on Twitter at all?
No.
He's a great follow. Like, really, really entertaining stuff. Talks a lot about, like, pitching and people he faced and, like, cities he's been in and stuff. Big Brent Rucker guy over
nice.
Here. Yeah.
Well, and now the A's. Now
the A's might not be going to Vegas. So.
Now Las Vegas might be saying,
how about that?
Yeah, we're all right.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
What was I looking at? Oh, Michael Rooker. A picture of Michael Rooker for you.
Is he an actor?
You will recognize him. He's in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Did you see those?
Oh.
He plays like the pseudo father for Chris Pratt, like the guy.
This might surprise you.
This guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and a ton of stuff.
This might surprise
you. All Rats back in the day.
I don't do the Marvel.
I know you didn't. It was just the most popular thing he's been in recently, but he's been in a ton of stuff, Michael Rooker.
I know Michael Rooker.
Okay.
All right. Good talk.
Michael Rooker.
It's a good pod. Do you know who Michael Rooker is? deadline. No. But yeah, they're clearly waiting for the deadline. The Rojas thing feels like a big gamble.
If he stinks, do you think people will start calling him Michael?
Oh. Tucker got that a lot growing up.
I bet you did.
Yeah, I bet you did. Yeah, I'm shocked. I'm really shocked that high school kids couldn't handle your name being Tucker. Yeah, when things were going bad for him.
I like that.
Ross Tucker.
There you go.
Who's your? We've reached the point of the pod. What's your top five Tuckers? Chris Tucker? Ross Tucker?
Chris Tucker is a good one.
Tucker Bagley?
Yeah.
Tucker Barnhart.
Tucker Barnhart.
Tucker Barnhart. That's a good one. Baseball. That's good.
Michael Tucker?
Mike.
Is that a guy?
PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker.
I might have made up Michael Tucker. There's probably a Michael Tucker.
I think there's probably a Michael Tucker.
I was thinking of Michael Turner, the former Falcons running back.
Turner the burner.
Yeah. So that's a down the chest bet on me.
That's good.
I might be all tucked out.
There you go.
That might be it.
I think there are others.
There's definitely others.
There are a couple that I just don't feel like saying.
Yeah.
Like there's one in particular, and I'm just not even going to say the name. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a fan. I'll just say that.
Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker, by the way, helped me win a fantasy championship last year.
And his scrub brother.
Huge fan of Kyle Tucker. He's a brother?
Yeah.
Who?
Preston Tucker?
Really?
Well, there's Cole Tucker, too.
Well, there's one of those
in the Cole Tucker is the one dating someone famous.
No, he's
right?
married to...
married to someone famous, right?
Yeah, but she was in High School Musical.
Yes. Vanessa Hudgens. No,
Hudgens.
Is that it?
Vanessa.
Yeah, there you go.
Cole Tucker.
Yep. There you go. Good
Tucker discussion.
Good Tucker running.
Did people turn this podcast off yet?
I hope so.
It's going down. It's going down.
That's what I figured.
This is for the 30%ers. The 20%ers.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Whatever.
We can save it for later, but I do have a top five list for you.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I know, because it's been a while.
I'm really
excited.
I
figured we should bring like actual Phillies content yes! to
this show. Oh, until we get back to Dombrowski.
Rather than talking about
David Dombrowski. All right, so of all the things Dombrowski said, what's it up to you?
Boris definitely asked for an extension.
And Dombrowski definitely shot him down.
And they were like, no way.
I mean, he's like, here's what I'll say. Happy Bryce here for the next 8 years.
Yep.
I go, all right, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, that was very
cool.
Very interesting. And I didn't realize a rule until I believe Gelb wrote about it. So they're gonna sign Wheeler, but they can do it before, but it wouldn't be smart to do it before spring training.
How come?
Because spring training, if you sign him then it doesn't affect this year's luxury tax.
Really?
That's the...
So they might have a Wheeler deal waiting to go,
exactly.
Theoretically.
But why would you do it right now?
Like, I didn't know that was it. I didn't, of course. It's a no-brainer, of course.
Yeah, I'll find the exact...
wording or whatever.
The exact wording that he did. But yeah, like, so that's why it makes sense, like, because you keep waiting for it. So this is what Gelb wrote. The Phillies are still expected to engage Zach Wheeler on a potential contract extension this spring. By waiting until the spring, a potential new contract would not have luxury tax ramifications in 2024. There are other extension candidates, two of whom agreed salary on Thursday on salaries to avoid arbitration. So, yeah, like if you can wait 2 weeks.
It's like a no-brainer. Why wouldn't you?
Absolutely no-brainer.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because the reason is that it doesn't affect because he's not making more money this year. Is that why they put that in there? Because it doesn't affect this year's salary?
I would assume so, yeah.
And if you do it before then it would affect this year's salary?
Again, this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Because what didn't make sense to me was that you can sign players in spring training,
yeah,
and it affects this year's luxury tax.
Strange. So especially if it's an extension, because you would think the new money isn't coming until the future.
Right, so.
Strange. I don't get it.
Interesting.
But hey, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Like that. Sign Zach Wheeler.
Now it makes sense.
What do you expect year-wise for Wheeler?
Four?
I was thinking four. I mean, obviously, ideally, you're hoping for three, but that probably won't happen. I think he's probably shooting for five. You meet in the middle.
Yeah. I don't think.
Like 4-130, 4-140, something
five
like
that? Five would be not very fun.
I agree. 4-130, 4-140?
4-120.
Okay.
Feel about right?
Sure. Go I mean, on. 30, I think...
He gets a 30, no matter what.
Oh, I think he gets, that's my question. Does he get higher than 30? Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think 30 is possible.
And the good part about Wheeler, and we've talked about this, I think, in years past on this podcast, like, he just has that fastball that it's weird how some pitchers' arms work, where, like,
there's just life on it.
Scherzer can pitch, yeah, when he's 39, and now he's breaking down, but still.
But Verlander, I mean, we see these guys, Verlander, yeah.
Like, for some reason.
For power guys, you would always the old adage, all these guys can change speeds, they can last, whatever. It's that you're right. It's been fascinating seeing some of these power. I mean, then look, then there's Nolan Ryan back in the day. Dude, pitcher was 46. Like, some of these guys just have that type of arm where, mm-hmm, they can just throw fastballs forever.
Yep. So, and the way that his fat, like, even last year, I'd be like, freaking out because he'd be at 95 in the fourth, and it just doesn't really matter. Like, he's got one of the best fastballs in the sport.
He's got life on it. Yeah.
And what was encouraging is that in the postseason, he was still about 95, 96. He wasn't back. It wasn't like he ramped up in the postseason, and he put together another all-time kind of run. Like, he's been an unbelievable postseason pitcher for the Phillies so far.
He's one of the best of my lifetime.
And it hasn't,
as a Philly, the best.
It hasn't been 100.
Him and, like, Schilling.
He got to, well.
And Cole. For 1 year.
And Doc.
And Doc. Yeah, and Doc.
We've had some good
ones. We've had some good ones.
And Cliff Leonardo.
Yeah. Cliff, though, ruined it the next year. But yes, or 2 years. But still.
2 years. 2 years.
Yeah. And Doc. Doc was pretty good.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah, he's okay.
Believe it or not, he's all right. But yeah, it's
Wheeler's going to pitch in more postseasons, though. That's the thing. Wheeler's got a chance to really put a resume together from postseason.
For sure. And he stepped up in big moments. So, yeah, it's just he has one of those fastballs where I just don't worry about it anymore. And...
Like, it is so funny that we're sitting here talking about signing him to 34, I believe he is, right?
34.
Like, there's a guy who, when the Phillies signed him, they got him for such a discount because people thought he was just, like, he couldn't last. Mm-hmm. Like, his first, three, 4 years of his career were a disaster from an injury perspective, and he's come here and just been the bastion of health. It's fascinating.
The funniest part about the Wheeler thing, and because today's also the five-year anniversary of the JT trade.
Oh,
is
I remember that show. That was fun.
It was fun. It was. Remember they made moves? That was great.
trades. Where are the trades?
Where are the trades? And, oh, man, poor Sexto, man. Just has not ever put it together.
No. And when he did come up for that moment.
He's sick.
Like, it was electric watching that guy.
It was amazing.
Electric. Yeah.
So it's funny that it feels like Klentak and Ed Wade both have, like, the same, like, trajectory. Like, Klentak got
I think Wade more so, because Wade really did draft those guys and whatever. But
do
yes.
Do you want me to get technical on you?
Sure.
Mike Arbuckle.
I agree with you. Okay. Mike Arbuckle, you're absolutely right. Mike Arbuckle did. But Ed Wade's tenure was better than Matt Klentak's, I think. But you're right. Look, Klentak kind of put this team together.
He had no idea. Klentak had no idea how to build a team. But when it came to signings, and
I mean, like, the Harper contract and the Wheeler contract are both, like,
the JT trade,
but really just you were talking contracts, like, those are, I mean, the Wheeler contract is the best contract in my life in Philly sports. I think it's arguably, and forgetting, like, you know, rookie contracts, so I'm talking, like, I think it's the best in my lifetime, and I think it's arguably one of the best baseball contracts of my lifetime. 5 for 100 for what they got from that guy. I mean, it's
pretty ridiculous.
It's absurd. Or 5-120, whatever it was. It's, like, it's crazy. He's been a $40 million pitcher, and it's, like, half the price.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Klentak, you know, last year, obviously, this Segura was on the team. He traded for Gene Segura.
Yeah, I mean, Harper signed the JT trade, you know.
Wheeler.
I mean, it was an obvious pick at the time, but Bohm was a draft pick by him. Stott, a draft pick by him. I mean, you know, and Stott at 14 looks like a really good pick there. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Little Mac Glenn Sack appreciation.
Are we going back to King Glenn Sack?
Mac Glenn Sack appreciation? No, never. But yeah, it's just funny looking back. And you know, Gillick is so like Dombrowski, except you know, Dombrowski hasn't gotten it done yet.
Yeah, but you're right. Comes in with a very similar resume coming in, all that.
Find the right pieces to put together. Now, Dombrowski hasn't found his worth yet, you know?
That's true.
Like, where's the worst?
Where's the worst?
Marsh, sort of.
Kind of, but not really. I mean, it's not worse.
It's not.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the best move that Dombrowski has made, just in terms of value, in terms of like what he gave up to get it, signing, whatever, is actually the first move he made.
The Alvarado.
Yeah, I think that the Clevenger for Alvarado is the single best, you know, give to get that Dombrowski's done since he's been here.
Yep.
Which is wild because that was the first move he made.
It's funny. The biggest thing that Dombrowski's done is just rounded out the edge of the roster. Yeah.
And the biggest thing he's done, if it's what we talked about at the beginning, what we hoped for and what has been proven true, is creating a winning organization. With Dombrowski, the stuff that, like, on the field, he's been fine. Off the field, Dombrowski has been a rock star here. You know, the way he's built this organization up, the way they've taught them how to win, the way he's built the infrastructure in the our guys, you know, Brian and Preston, and bringing in all these people in the drafting development, focusing on that, all that stuff, and just bringing a winning culture to Philly.
Well,
I mean, it's been unbelievable what Dombrowski's done.
And value in the clubhouse, yeah, which I think that's one thing that the more analytically driven organizations
see. It's going from Girardi to Thompson.
Yeah.
You know?
And Klentak, that was probably Klentak's biggest downfall.
Yeah.
Is Girardi. It just did not care about it.
Yeah. And Girardi. I mean, that was a mistake.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, a little appreciation, I guess, for Mac Glenn, but still, yeah.
Wasn't expecting that.
Well, it's just funny to think about.
No, it is.
I mean, 5 years ago was the JT trade. Yeah. Talking about extending Wheeler, like did good things here.
He did.
Did
You're
good
right.
things here.
Yeah.
And it was funny enough because I was like a normal person. I was rewatching the 2019 Phillies video year
before. Oh, total normal. Normal move.
And
80 win baseball team.
Even
81, 80. I think they're 80.
McCutcheon was playing well until he tore his
AC. That's an underrated, forget about, crappy moment that submarined the season.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't forget about it because we work at WIP, so impossible to forget about that moment.
Correct.
Led to one of the all time moments in the history of the station.
Yeah, it was awesome. But yeah, like even McCutcheon signing was the right. I mean, they got a leadoff hitter that was good until he got hurt.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Fun fact.
And you,
never
the world's biggest.
No, he's the worst. By the end, he was the worst. But for a moment there, he did some good things.
He did. All right, what else from Dombrowski? I thought it was interesting. Again, he's so honest. There are so many little nuggets. Like him mentioned, like Schwarber is not playing the outfield at any point. I mean, that was strong. He was like, yeah, Schwarber's knees ain't hanging out there. Like, we can't do this. Just, you know.
No, I think that's why he's gotten off to some slower
starts. Yeah, I mean, he was talking about how much trouble he's having running. You know? Yeah,
well, I mean, I think he's had injuries the last couple of years that never became public.
You could tell
that have kind of hurt him from that standpoint. And listen, if a whole year at DH could get it, can I?
Bro, could we get like a Schwarb bomb season, baby?
Can I get 230?
Imagine if he had 230.
Oh gosh, everyone would just calm down. 30 seconds.
I know.
You know.
Didn't answer the leadoff hitter question. Kind of was interesting though, because he said they were like, Dave, do you have a?
I know.
And he's like, I do. He's like, I would pick someone, but I'm, you know, so yeah. I thought that was fascinating.
I do wonder if they try Stott there for at least the beginning again.
Uh-huh.
And see how it would go.
And why Stott over Turner?
Because I think Turner provides value in the two hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Stott has a more traditional leadoff hitter kind of mold.
I mean, Harper has to bat third. Like, none of this Harper batting fourth. Like, no, I'd rather bat first than third. And I don't want him batting first, but I'm saying, like, Harper has to hit in the first inning, in my opinion, every day, no matter what. So, I mean, look, we've talked about this. I think the lefty-righty thing is incredibly overrated. To your point that you've made many times, I do think it matters late in innings to not have too many lefties in a row. But I think I think Rob Thompson goes a little overboard with the righty-lefty thing. But look, if he wants to do it, which he does, you know, Stott, Turner, Harper makes a lot of sense at the top of the lineup.
And the only problem with Turner at leadoff is, like, who bats to?
Well, you have to Harper. That's the point.
And I don't want that.
I agree. I'm just saying. But again, or you don't have to go righty-lefty, but whatever, you know, whatever.
Well, who would you put to then if you went righty-righty?
I would bet Schwarber lead off.
No, I know.
Yeah, and I would go Schwarber, Turner, Harper as my top three.
Yeah.
What I would do, personally. But if not, I would rather go Stott, Turner, Harper. I wouldn't put Turner one. I'm just throwing it out there because you mentioned it, so would I mention Turner?
Yeah, well, because I think Stott will eventually be a leadoff hitter here. And I think he's going to be good at it. I do want to see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that, listen, I am a Schwarber leadoff defender forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand the value that he provides.
And again, how he wants to do it very clearly.
Correct.
You know, so, which matters. Again, I think that we had Jim Salisbury on last week. Great to hear, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Love you, Jim.
Love Jim.
But he was talking about, you know, he's like, one of the things that Rob Thompson is best at is knowing what his players need from him and kind of understanding the mind of the player and the psyche of the player. And he's like, Kyle Schwarber likes batting leadoff, man. Like, he thinks he loves starting the game off. He loves putting one in the seats. He loves the roar of the crowd. Like, it's like, gets him going. Like, it is something that Kyle Schwarber is a better player at leadoff because he wants to do it and he's excited to do it and all that. And that is the kind of thing where you have to, you know, it's not the only reason to put him there, but it is the kind of stuff that we don't know on the outside that does need to be taken into account.
Of course. So listen, if he's there game one, I'll be happy.
Be good with it.
It's just, yeah, I think eventually Stott will do it. And, you know, curious to see how it does.
I agree. And look, I think he'd be great at it. He just needs to walk a little bit more.
Hmm?
Seriously, to get there. I mean, because he has such amazing plate recognition, the ability to put the bat on the ball as well as anyone, maybe outside of Luis Arias that we've seen right now. But he does need to take a few more walks. If you want to be a classic prototypical leadoff hitter, there are spots where, you know, maybe a few more walks.
The answer on Panner was not surprising.
What's going on with everyone online being like, what?
No.
It's like,
really?
Dude, we all knew this.
They announced
like this,
it the second
they said
it
immediately. They're like, 2025, guys. Like, you know, you never know. I thought that was, I was very surprised by the reaction to that answer.
And I don't know why.
I don't either.
Wasn't
that was very clear.
Wasn't
like I saw prominent people tweeting out like, what?
I know. Yeah, but it stinks about Painter, obviously.
Yeah.
And
look,
he'll be
we're
back
ready
soon.
For that guy.
Yeah. The funny part is he's only 22 when he...
I know. Well, he was 19 when... Exactly. That's the point. He's 19. Like, again, I don't think people understand 22-year-olds reaching the majors. That's still young. Like, that's still super young to reach the majors. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not... And look, it's the kind of thing where, you know, as weird as it is these days with these pitchers, you almost expect them to have to get Tommy John at some point. It's almost like a you know, I don't want to say a rite of passage, but almost a necessary evil with how high velocity it's gotten, with the torque on these arms. Like, arms are not supposed to do this. You know, it's almost gotten to the point where, you know, you're almost surprised if someone doesn't get Tommy John, you know, in the first 5-6 years of their career or whatever.
Yeah, which stinks.
It stinks, of course, but it's like, get it now. I'm fine with it. You know, like, you know.
Just have to hope.
Stronger elbow moving forward.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Look, Shohei, you know, he's got it again. You know, yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it stinks. Not for us.
Do you think the Dodgers?
The Dodger.
Are they? If they don't do it this year,
it'll be an all time. Like,
it surpasses the last year's Mets.
I mean, like, they. Oh, yeah. I mean, even though it's funny, which it makes the last year's Mets thing that much funnier, is that how much more money last year's Mets spent than what the Dodgers spent this year, because that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the last year's Mets, I mean, they spent $500 million.
Which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. But, it's like the Dodgers didn't just go out and get Shohei. They went out and got Yamamoto. They went out and got Glass now. They went out, like, I mean, they've just gone, like, they went and got Teoscar. It's almost, especially in an offseason where that's the thing. Like, we're sitting here being like, oh, the Phillies didn't do anything. It's been so quiet. No one's done anything.
One did anything.
Like, there are a lot of teams that have done one move. The Yankees went and got Soto. They haven't done anything else. Like, all these teams, like, so just the Dodgers. It's just the Dodgers have gone out and done everything.
And if they don't do it, I mean, holy
It'll be about as big an embarrassment of a. But again, that's the thing. Like, if there's a sport other than hockey where you're not guaranteed to do it,
it's
just because you got talent, it's baseball.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Braves have been better than the Phillies last 2 years. Guess what? They lost the Phillies in the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So it's just what it is. Yeah. So, man.
1 week away.
1 week away. Let's go.
Yeah.
One of these.
Finally did it. We finally made it to the office.
We finally made it.
Yeah.
Jeez. Now, we are getting very excited for pitchers and catchers.
Yeah.
Still a ways away from actual baseball games being played, but we're on the
end
way.
End of February.
We're getting
one
there.
March hits.
We're getting there.
It's baseball month.
Oh.
Baseball month.
Yes! So we need to start petitioning Rod to send us to London, our boss, Rod Lagan.
Correct.
This is an important thing. I feel like we're slacking.
Do we bring Tucker, too?
I'm already going.
Okay. Yeah. Tucker, let's replace that letter, all right? Ucker.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what I think. Yep. You're just, he's like helping.
Way
there.
To be a me guy.
I know. Did you try and help get us to go, or
yeah.
did you
no,
just
I
go?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I just assumed you had the connections.
Yeah, you think.
I thought the morning show and the afternoon would already be sent.
Yeah. I'm thinking about this, that even if we don't get sent by the station, I might go. Like, Emily wants to go. Like, I'm thinking I might just take the week off and go to London. I'm thinking about it. Yeah, Philly's in London, man.
I know.
Thinking about it.
Plus, you're big. You seem like a big London guy.
I'm not a London guy. I've been. I was 12, so it's been a while since I've gone. Yeah. But so not really gone. Yeah. You know, I need to go.
You in London, Elliot in Brazil.
Yes, I'm a bit of an Anglophile, you could say.
I sure. So
Peter, my brother, is like Mr. Anglophile.
I don't know.
Someone who loves England. Obviously.
Oh,
like a,
okay.
like a Francophile is someone who loves France. You never heard those before?
No.
Okay. Well, an Anglophile is someone who loves English, British culture, English stuff, all that type of stuff. I'm not really an Anglophile. Like, I hate the crown. I hate all the
crown's awful.
Out on all that. Oh, anything to do with the royal family, I'm fully out on. You know, just couldn't be more.
Yeah.
You know,
Dave Shaw.
Dave Shaw fully in. Could not be more in on Dave.
Hamill's going now.
Oh, really? Yeah, so Hamill's Nutley hanging out?
Oh. I would love to go. I'd love to go.
We got to make this happen.
I don't know.
We'll see. Happen. We'll see. But we'll be at opening day.
Will we?
I don't know. I mean, assume I assume
we're
gonna
be
so.
Opening day?
Better be.
I'll be in spring training in a month.
Man. Yeah. Do you know when you're going?
Yes.
Okay. So do we.
A month.
A month.
Today.
Oh, exact. So you're going early.
Yes.
I think we're in middle of March. So nice. Either way. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Nice. I can't wait.
I'm excited.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
So it's gonna be awesome. All right, we got anything else?
Yeah, I figured my take back.
Oh yeah, take back. I forgot
about
that.
Can be my top five.
There we. Oh.
Oh, this is called producing.
What, do you do that?
I haven't put together a top five in so long, you know. So because
almost forgot what to do. I know you're Mr. Host guy now. It's like you never even produce.
I know. I missed my drop board.
I have seen some. I'll just say embarrassing top fives in your stead.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean, just
no one knows how to do it.
Some tragic.
Yes.
You know, 10 minutes of radio, but that's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's all about making it funny.
I know. Yes.
Oh, make fun.
Yes, it is.
The most important Phillies in 2024
Ooh.
For them to win the division.
Do the thing.
And be
yes,
and be
yes.
Good.
Okay.
I think there's no doubt about it. Rojas is one.
Absolutely. Like,
cannot be. He can't be one.
He's the biggest question mark in the lineup heading in the season.
He can't be 150 hitter guy. Can't be just defense.
He can't be 220 hitter guy. And that's the line.
He can be 220.
That's the line.
He can be 220.
220.
With like five homers.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can't all be off pitchers.
Yeah.
The one ball that Yoan Ross has ever crushed.
No, he hit one off.
He hit two homers, but the other one, that one barely got out. The one
that was an opposite field homer.
Barely got out. The one off the pitcher, he smoked that, and then it was hilarious.
I would have thrown the ball.
Imagine having to apologize after hitting your first major league home run.
It should not have counted.
I know. It should not have counted. Yeah. He was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Off a hitter. I kept saying off a hitter.
No, I know. I said the other day on the air, I was like, yeah, Yoan Rojas says first home run off a pitcher.
I know. I did the same. I just did.
I was like, what do you mean? And I was like,
you meant a hitter pitching. Right. A hitter pitching. Sorry. Yes. That was pretty obvious.
It was very obvious. I think two is Kirk Ring. I think everyone
that's
else
a good one.
Pretty much has.
That's very good.
Has.
Because he could be the closer.
Yeah.
Right? And Dave said that. That was interesting, too, because they asked, do you have a closer? And he's like, you know, that's not my decision, but. Like, we don't. He's like, it could be a bunch of guys, but he did throw Kirk in there. He's like, yeah, I can see Kirk Green getting a few saves, like that kind of thing. So
I feel like by May, he's going to be the closer.
I think so, too.
I think that he'll, because I think they like having Alvarado work around. I think they like Sir Anthony to be able to jump around. I'm curious about, like, Hoffman was so good.
So good.
Can he do that again?
He's as big a question mark as anyone in the sense that, I mean, how many times have we seen guys have a freaking awesome bullpen year and then just not be good the next year? It happens all the time. I mean, Sir Anthony wasn't even good this year. So, like, look, he was awesome last year, and I'm not going to doubt that he could be awesome again, but I certainly can't. I'm not sure of it. Yeah. I'm excited about him, but, you know.
It's we'll a little see. Like, it reminds me a lot of Tyler Matzek.
Sure.
With the Braves. It was, like, ridiculous. He's, like, the best lefty reliever in postseason. Mm-hmm. He's barely pitched since.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious about Hoffman because he's just good. Like, that's a
he's awesome. Yeah, oh, it's a game changer. Totally. Especially because they need a right hand and arm that they can count on in that part of the baseball game.
Game one, NLDS.
Not enough
masterclass.
Not enough righties we can count on the bullpen, what we always thought would happen.
Yes. Hoffman in the fourth. Just Rob Thompson masterclass. Yeah. Masterclass.
Only at a masterclass in games, four and five against the IMAX.
Third most important Philly, I think, is actually Alec Bohm. Like, ooh. I don't know where we're at with Alec Bohm. Because, like,
will he ever hit for power? Ever, ever, ever.
Him having 20 home runs last year feels
like a fluke.
Shocking.
I know. Well, it's funny because remember, like, spring training, bulked up, start of the season, spring training, then the start of the season, hitting tank shots.
I know.
And then he went like 2 months home or whatever, without many, you know?
But he, like, he ended the year last year as the cleanup hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He might be there on opening day again.
Look, so that's an interesting one because I think you have three, assuming they
put Harper third.
Yeah, and have a lefty at the top of the line, but it's not Turner, you know, and he wants to right lefty thing. Then it comes down to three options. You're either doing JT, you're doing Cassie, or you're doing Bohm there.
Yeah.
And I think Bohm makes the most sense from the sense that he puts the bat on the ball the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I think Castellanos is not the clean. I think it's either JT or Bohm in the sense you need someone there who's going to put the bat on the ball a little more consistently. But I think by the end of the season last year, JT was the guy I counted on. I trusted the most of those three by the end of the season. So I think it'll be one of those two.
Who could forget Bohm's home run in game seven?
Well, especially after, yeah.
Who could forget?
I did until you said that. Totally forgot it.
So yeah, just like, and defense was good at third base last year. Maybe focused so much on that. I'm curious.
He was great defensively.
I mean, it's close to extension time for him. Like, do they want to extend Alec Bohm? And it's a legitimate question. It's not a no brainer. I like Alec Bohm a lot. We'll see what they do.
What does he have? Two more years of barb left? Three more years? I think it's two or three.
He came up with 20, right?
So he's got three more years at Rob left.
Yeah. So, well,
it's getting there.
It's getting there. So that's going to be an interesting one. I think he's really important. Four is Nola. Like, we know what Wheeler is going to be. Were the adjustments in the postseason real or were they not? And I feel good about Nola heading into the year because I think contract stuff settled. He's here for life. He can just calm down and go out and do his thing. And maybe the adjustments are real. Maybe that he, you know, buys into to because he's never been a huge analytic guy. Maybe this has him buying in more. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. So Nola gets the contract. Can he live up to that? And, you know, he's huge because you have Wheeler, but the only way they're winning 90 plus games.
I agree.
They have a legit two, and they need Nola to be a two.
No doubt. And I'm very bullish on Aaron Nola's season. We'll make our season prediction all coming up. But I would expect a bold prediction from me on Nola. I'm really, really, really bullish on Aaron Nola this year. Yeah.
What a tease. What a tease.
That's
a tease. And the last one is Turner. Are we going to get an MVP type year from Turner?
Can we get a full season?
Can we get a top 10 MVP vote for
Turner? I mean,
we
should. We should. Like, again, with the contract, we should. That is the type of player he should be considering what he got paid. Especially now in these early years of the contract.
Correct.
When you really need to make hay.
And it's so funny because, like, Bohm has turned into a guy I trust more defensively than Turner.
It's unbelievable.
Can he bounce back defensively? Because that's the really only hole defensively they have right now. Even Castellanos.
Again, who'd have thunk it?
Two straight years down there, man.
Their only hole defensively is Trey Turner?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So yeah.
They had, what, 26 errors last year?
It's unbelievable.
Like,
and look, Dombrowski did make it a point when they were talking about the Rojas thing and Schwarber and all that. Like, they care about defense.
They
now.
Do.
Like, they really, that has been a big organizational change. The whole defense doesn't matter.
More homers.
It does. Yeah. Who'd have thunk it?
Quite disappointing by Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, we learned that lesson both baseball and football. Defense matters. Yeah, turns out. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
I think it's
Turner's a big one. Like, are we gonna get an MVP year from Turner, or is it gonna be 275, 280? It won't be as bad as it was to begin until August 4th of last year. But can we get? Is it going to be a 275, 280 year with 20 some home runs,
or is it 300
with
25?
315 to 330 with 25 plus.
315 to 330 would be nice. You know, I'll take 300. I'll be good.
Does Stott bat 300 this year?
No, but I bet he bats. I'm going to say 294.
Cooking.
294. I'm saying it's close.
If he didn't essentially not feel like he didn't get a hit for September,
that was what it was. I mean, he was batting 306 or something when September started.
I can't wait for 30. Oh,
Stotty.
Stotty.
He would be very high on my list of players I'm most excited to watch this year. I agree with you.
I got to be honest, buddy. I'm excited to see them all.
I know. Like, I know.
You're asking the wrong guy. You're asking the wrong guy.
Just Bryce at first for the year, just a full season of Bryce Harper,
yeah.
Like starting the year at first. That's going to be exciting.
It is funny how Like Reese was so bad at playing first base, and
Bryce, like that. Again, his first game, he was better than Reese ever was. Immediately, unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's my top five.
It's great stuff. I love it.
Thank you. A couple other things. Jimmy Williams passed away, which is
it's a shame.
Big 08 Phillies guy.
Yep. Yep.
Great bench
just
coach.
Just a baseball man.
Baseball guy.
Jimmy Williams.
Baseball guy. So that was a shame.
Plus the rare JIMY.
I know.
Rarely see it.
I know. Yeah. I know. The City Connect jerseys look horrible.
Dude, what a disaster. Like, they look like union jerseys.
What are we doing here?
Inside baseball or inside baseball guys text thread, our thread with Elliot. Elliot sent us those when they leaked, and Jack and I were both like, this is horrible. And Elliot, of course, was like, I like them.
Of course. They're great.
They're horrible.
They're elite.
Like, they are trash. Like, they are about as bad.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
Who is the City Connect for?
It's a union. It's like a union. It looks like a union shirt. Like, what are we doing here?
Am I just, you know.
No one cares. Sorry.
Sorry, who? Who are you apologizing?
I'm sure someone was.
Oh, the union.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm sorry. No one cares. Team. Yes.
They don't, but they look like the one union jersey.
Yeah, they look like the one.
Main jersey.
Yeah, the union main jersey is cool.
The main kit they wear is cool.
It's cool.
It's
a bad City Connect.
And my final thing is not baseball related, but I wanted to bring it up with you because it's been on my mind for the last couple of days.
Love this.
Like, does anyone write good music when they enter like their 40s?
That's a good take, right?
Like, I feel like
you're right.
Is there any, like, everyone just writes all their
20s, stuff. Yeah,
and then they perform it all their 30s, and by 40s, it's like, because no one's ever like, oh, I can't wait to hear the new whatever.
No,
guy
it's,
that was
you're, it's a great point. There are not that many musicians. I mean, like, the Stones did. They had songs into their 40s and stuff. Like, they had some good albums in the 80s and stuff like that, I would say. But not really, like, rare. I mean, Fish obviously still pumping out new music. That's
like
great.
Covers.
You know, no, they don't. New music, new albums. Like
it's just,
but their older stuff's better. I'm with you.
It's just so funny. Like,
well, that's why it was such a big deal at the Grammys. They're like, Billy Joel actually wrote a new song for the first time in 40 years.
They didn't write it.
He didn't even write it. They performed a new song for the first time in 40 years, whatever, 30 years.
Taylor's going to be an interesting test.
She is. She pumps stuff out, man. She's
34.
She's heading in that direction.
Does she hold up through her 40s with making new music?
I mean, there have been people like Bob Dylan. Like, there are older people. Like, Prince wrote until he died. Like, there are people.
Did they have a hit?
I think they did. I mean, some hits.
Well, it's just. I guess what made me think of it is.
But it's
like,
rare. It's a great point.
I've been listening to this guy named Wyatt Flores. And he's like 24. He's writing about like heartbreak and all this. Like, and I figured out his age. I'm like, well, what do you know?
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Are you
kidding me?
And then someone pointed out, it's like, well, I mean, like McCartney wrote Let It Be at 27.
That's true.
So, you know, it's just like, everyone just like puts it all in their 20s. And then after that, just like, what happens after?
If you had asked me what new artist am I listening to, some guy named Wyatt would have been like my third or fourth guess. It would have been a pretty high guess. A guy named Wyatt.
Why?
Because it's just a very country music sounding guy. Is he country music?
No, it's more like the, I don't know, Americana. Folk. It's not, because it's not country, but it's, if you would say it's country.
I like folk. I like folk music.
All right, well, listen.
Okay.
Listen,
big Jim Croce guy.
love
Jim. There you go.
Love Jim Croce. Yeah, listen.
Do you want to make the admission on the pod that you made to me through text that really made my month?
Yeah.
Yeah, please. Yes.
I don't know, because I might offend the... I'm not a big fan of... The Grateful Dead as a band, not bad.
Thank you. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. You finally listen to a little music and you're like, oh, this doesn't suck. Okay.
Just everything around the Grateful Dead.
I get that. The scene.
It's a lot.
Not yours.
Believe it or not, not my scene.
It's far from your scene to possibly be. Jack walking around like, what is happening?
Where am I? So,
thank you.
Grateful Dead, not bad.
Okay, good. John Mayer maybe didn't put them on the map.
Just well,
plays their music. Enthusiastically.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You got anything else?
Pitchers and catchers, baby.
Damn. Sorry, next time we do. Wait, hold on. Is that right? Yeah, next time. Next time we do a pod.
Well, truck day is tomorrow.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers will be there. Hell yeah.
I will watch. I believe I'll be able to finish every yearbook before pitchers and catchers.
No, you didn't.
No, I probably will be. I haven't done it yet. I'm on my trek.
So
that's what I do Saturday.
What do you mean every yearbook? When you say every yearbook,
like,
is it
2018 on?
All right, that's better. I think you're about to.
I don't think
to
I'm
going to
watch
2000 and just, you know.
No, I don't think I'm going to watch 2020.
Okay, so this era, like, start 19. Start with Harper.
Oh yeah, I'm,
start with 19.
I had to finish 2018. had to remember it all.
Had to, the operative term.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because I it did bring back the memory of sitting in Costa Rica on our
I remember you. Yes.
Watching,
yeah.
Scherzer versus Nola.
Yeah.
On a
terrible. That's worth it. That's a good point. I forgot 2018 Nola, buddy. That was a year, buddy.
Struck out Mookie in the All-Star game, dominated at Fenway.
Maybe 2024 is going to be similar. I don't know. I'm just saying. All right.
It was good talking real baseball.
Yeah, that was good. I feel like that's the most Phillies we've actually talked, even though there were large stretches there where we didn't.
Just cut out the Tucker
portion. No, which, no, that was you. That was the best portion. Best portion of the bot, easily.
5 minutes on you. Who's your go-to, yeah. Tucker?
It's great stuff.
Is pretty good.
Justin Tucker.
That's a good
Never
one.
Never said Justin that's Tucker. Good, there we
Justin
go.
Justin Tuck? No, just does not.
No, that's different.
Doesn't count.
That's good. All right, do the tuck.
Yeah.
Your son's Lamson.
The tuck rule.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I like how you moved right past the son's lambs to the tuck. That was good.
Yeah, because I almost made a really dumb comment.
Oh, good.
And I was going to say, oh, the tuck push. And I realized it's the tush push.
It's so good. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. We got nothing else.
Ross Tucker should take that.
No, he should.
Yeah, the tuck push.
The tuck push. I like that.
Doesn't flow as well. As
no, it doesn't.
It or not.
All right. We'll be back next week. As will the freaking Phillies, baby. Let's go. He's Fritz himself.